So we're going to look through the book of Jude, chapter or verse 20 and 23. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. Very fascinating verses that we're going to cover. I'm actually having a lot of fun uncovering the scriptures, what God is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying through Jude. It's very interesting, and something always opens up to you that you haven't known before. And so these passages that we're going to cover, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, is a passage on sanctification. It's a passage on building the believer. The believer is being built up. He's growing in grace, in sanctification. He's becoming more and more like the image of Christ. And so we are to build ourselves. We're growing. So this passage, as I said, is a passage on sanctification. And yet before this, Jude is writing to those who have crept into the church, who cannot grow into the image of Christ, who have the image of Satan, if you will. They corrupt, they lie, they twist the scriptures. Everything that God does that is good, they try to reverse it for their own benefits. And so Jude has been writing about these from verses 4 to 17. But these, woe to them, these are. And these are the people who have crept into the church. And yet we have seen in last Sunday that these people, they are empty of the Spirit of God. They cause, verse 19, they're the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. These are the ones who do not have the Spirit of God. They are guided by the prince of the power of this age. They are blind, deaf, and even dead in regards to spiritual matters. And yet, these are the ones who have crept into the church. They are involved in the church settings. They may even be up here and preaching the word. But yeah, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we were like that. I want us to see how we were before the sanctification process began. Who we were. And Paul says exactly that in Ephesians chapter 2, the first verses. The first three verses of Ephesians chapter 2 reads, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." So that's, Paul says, we too were as they are. That was our position before we believed. You were dead. Apostle Paul says, you were dead. And then he explains his deadness. He further explains what that means, that you are dead. He explains it. In which you formerly walked as the world. You lived in the lusts of the flesh. You were completely devoted to the things of the world. The things that Scripture spoke. The things that were interested or God's will. That was not interesting to you. You were involved in this world. And all the affairs of this world. Indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You were doing everything that your body desired. You did not stop anything from what your body desired. Everything that is opposed to God was right in your own eyes. As Brother Paul reads in the book of Judges, the last verse of the last chapter, and everything seemed right, or things seemed right in their own eyes. And why is that? Why they walked and lived and indulged in the desires of the flesh? Because they were dead. Paul explains this deadness of an individual who does not know God. Can anyone who is in this state, who is in the state of deadness, ever do God's will? Or can he ever please God in any way? Because we often hear people say, oh, that person's good. Sure, he doesn't know Christ, but he's a good guy. So what they're basically saying, he doesn't know Christ, but he's pleasing God in some way. Is that possible, to please God in some way apart from new birth, apart from knowing who Christ is? If you read Romans, the whole book of Romans is actually fascinating, but one verse, chapter 8, verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who have not been born again cannot please God. Those who are, earlier he says, worldly minded are at enmity with God. Then Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness no one will see the Lord. So there's requirements to please the Lord. That's perfect holiness. Perfect righteousness. Perfection. And that's only found in Christ. And so there are in the church till this day people like that who are dead and are involved in church ministries. But they are under the control of their own fallen flesh, who indulge in their own desires. They indulge in their own pleasures. Who are enslaved to sin. And the irony of it is that they're the ones who preach about free will, when they themselves are enslaved to sin. But what separates us from them? What separates us, those who are in the church, the true church, the invisible church? What separates us from them, from those who are still in their flesh? I call these people circus animals. That's, if you look at Benny Hinn, that's a circus animal loose. So what separates us from him? Or perhaps I could rephrase it and say, is there a difference between us? Maybe someone here might say there's no difference. Sure, I indulge myself in the flesh as well here and there. But I'm still a Christian. Sure, I indulge in things here and there, but I'm still a Christian. But I'll tell you, what makes a Christian is not a decision to follow Christ. It's not a decision to follow Christ. Because you're already making that decision when you indulge in the flesh. When you indulge in sin, people are already making that decision to follow sin and Satan. So when a person says, I chose to be a Christian, and they're living the lifestyle of Satan, they're making their decision. But what makes a Christian, is when Christ says, Lazarus, rise. When Christ speaks, he gives life. That's what makes a Christian, is when Christ makes him a Christian. And immediately after we hear those words, Lazarus, rise, we like babies have a craving for the pure milk of the word. There's a new creature now involved when Jesus says that. When Jesus gives life, there's a new being now. It's not about me saying I'm a Christian, still living in the rebelliousness of this world. But now I say I'm a Christian and I act like a Christian because the Holy Spirit gives me that strength to act like a Christian. Apart from Christ, you cannot be a Christian. So our strongest foundations perhaps may have been in our own self-righteousness. Our strongest foundations, what we have stood on perhaps is our ability to save ourselves. I got myself into this mess. I got out of myself. I got myself out of this mess. Perhaps you did something, you got right back up out of it. But the mess that we got through in Adam, we can't get out of it. It It's too deep. But when Christ, in his amazing splendor, revealed to us who we are, when Christ shows us who we are, when he gives us new eyes and we look at ourselves, that there's corruption, there's rotting dead flesh upon ourselves, and we're surrounded in the cemetery, the first thing you're going to do is get out of there. The beginning point of sanctification is self-realization and God's holiness. Seeing and understanding self is only revealed by revelation through the Holy Spirit. You cannot see who you are if Christ and the Holy Spirit does not reveal it to you. Why do you think those who we were, who we used to be, as Paul said, we lived in the lust of the flesh, we walked as the world did, we indulged in it. Why didn't we not see that before? So seeing and understanding self is only revealed by the Holy Spirit. And yet there are people who are building a foundation upon other things. For instance, I call them knowledge seekers. There are people I've encountered who search the scriptures, references, they read commentaries. They're in touch with theology. They can go far and wide in theology. The problem is that they do not know who Christ is, though, however, in all of that. These guys can be so brilliant, so smart, so in touch with all of the scriptures, but yet they do not see Christ in them. They can even win a debate against Satan himself, but they're not seeking for Christ. That is because they don't see themselves. That is because they don't see themselves. They're reading the Bible and they're seeing other people, but not themselves. Are you seeking yourself? Are you seeking who you are? Once a person sees who he is, that he is weak, Christ is strong, he falls upon Christ to save him. And then there's other people who are comfort seekers. There are comfort seekers. I've encountered these people as well. I've only been a Christian for roughly 5 years, even though I was born in a Christian family. But I've encountered a few people here and there. And these are comfort seekers. These are the most to be prayed for. These comfort seekers, they avoid studying the Bible. They run from complicated texts, and they flee from anyone who has a different opinion on Scripture than you. And that's because they believe that their traditions will be proved wrong by the Bible, or what they believe will be contradicted. And supposedly what people believe is what the Bible says, right? There are different sects and denominations who believe exactly what the Bible says, or so they believe themselves to be. So they seek comfort. There are people who seek comfort. They do not want to read God's word. And to have the word of God like a sword cut through them and separate this rotting flesh from them. They don't want to read the Bible. They don't want this sword to cut right through them and separate the sin that is dragging them to hell, that is killing them. They don't want that sword. They don't want to read, nor listen, nor study, nor understand the Bible. They refuse to, because false comfort is more desirable than real comfort, than divine comfort. And all they want to hear is, God loves me, or God loves you. That's all that they want to hear. They don't want to hear anything else. They don't want to hear, repent and believe the gospel. They want to hear, God loves you. Imagine just for a second, Jonah approaches Nineveh and says, God loves you. Imagine what would happen then. I assume that they would probably look at each other and say, great, I love myself too. Now we have two gods. God's in favor. The heavens are in favor for us. These are the preachers who preach peace, peace, when there is no peace. And yet those people who seek comfort, they follow those false preachers. Because they're after a peace. They're after a comfort that's not there. Then Jonah would be satisfied, right? If he would have said, God loves you, then he would have been satisfied because the wrath of God would still be upon them. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed, Jonah preached. Repent or the wrath of God rests upon you. There's no love there from a distance. If you look at that, it seems like there's no love in there, but there's plenty of love. And so repentance involves seeing yourself. That's the beginning point of sanctification. That's the beginning point of believers when we start to grow and be formed into the image of Christ, the sanctification. And that's repentance. Repentance, then we get sanctification begins and we start being formed into the image of Christ. And the first step of repentance is seeing yourself that you have been standing against God. You have been standing against Him, against all that He has spoken and against all His goodness and graces, and you have stepped right over it. You have stepped over it. The greatest goodness that God has given us is His Son, and we've stepped over it. You lived in a life of sin, and Apostle John says that sin is lawlessness. We couldn't care less if we have sinned against God. We couldn't care less when we have sinned against God until you seen yourself and that you were helpless. Until we were helpless. The immediate results of that is that we begin to cry out to God. And that, my friends, is a gift from God. When we see our helplessness, the world sees that as weakness. But when we see our helplessness, that is a gift from God that we are craving Him, that we are needing Him. So we fall to His knees and we ask, save us. Because we see the evil that is in our hearts. We've seen the evil that is in our hearts and our there's fruits that our bodies reveal. Our hearts are evil, and our bodies express that evil. And so we know we come to God as our Savior. And so let us, as Edward Mote and William Bradley, let them say as they wrote the song on Christ, the solid rock, I stand, all other grounds is sinking sand. Christ should be our foundation. Not anything else. Not reading the scriptures just for the sake of reading the scriptures for knowledge. But let us read the scriptures to understand who He is. To see who He is. So I'll challenge you to ask yourself, am I growing in grace? Am I growing to become more like Christ? If there is no growth, my friends, you are dead. You are dead. There's no growth in there. You are dead. And you can only grow on the pure milk of the Word. If the Word's not giving you any life, you're dead. Let us build ourselves on Christ, who's the author and perfecter of our faith, who's the chief cornerstone, and whom are the promises of God complete in Christ. So I pray that everyone would challenge themselves, that we would read the scriptures and examine ourselves. Are you in the faith? Are you building yourselves up on the most holy faith? Next time, we'll see how prayer can guide in this building. May the Lord bless His word. Amen.